The UK is lifting some of its COVID-19 travel restrictions. From Marketplace, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Starting July 10th, people visiting England from dozens of countries will no longer have to self-isolate for 2 weeks. The British government will also relax its guidance against all but essential travel to a number of countries. That change kicks in tomorrow. For more on this, here's Tom Burridge with our editorial partner, the BBC.
4 weeks after implementing a near blanket travel quarantine on people arriving into the UK, the government is moving towards a very different approach for England. By the end of today, more than 50 low-risk countries should join Italy, France, Germany and Spain on a very long list of exemptions. Although, if you arrive in some of the lowest risk places on the list, like New Zealand, local restrictions like a quarantine might still apply. However, people arriving into the UK from high-risk countries, like the United States, will still be subject to the government's quarantine rules. The UK government has not achieved consensus with the Scottish, Welsh and Northern Irish governments on its new style of quarantine. They could take a different approach over which countries will be exempt. The Scottish government has concerns about some of the countries on the UK government's list.
In Illinois, Nevada, Oregon, and some cities, minimum wage increases were set to begin July 1st. Some business owners wanted a delay because of the pandemic. But as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports, in most places, things moved ahead as planned.
Sandy Shaneborn owns a three-screen movie theater in southern Illinois. It's closed now because of the pandemic. In May, she wrote the Illinois legislature and governor asking them to delay the minimum wage increase. Her argument?
Extra expenses when we didn't have much money coming in was going to make it difficult to stay a viable business.
When the theater does open, hopefully later this month, Shaneborn will have to pay her workers the new minimum, $10 an hour. David Cooper at the Economic Policy Institute says minimum wage workers will spend the extra money, maybe on things like movie tickets.
Raising the minimum wage is one of the simplest and most straightforward ways to get money into the hands of people that are very likely to go out and spend those dollars right away.
Cooper says the best way to help small businesses cope with the pandemic and higher minimum wage, more government loans or tax deferrals. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Quick look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.8%. U.S. markets are closed for the holiday. We're headed into the 4th of July weekend, usually a time of celebration for many people. But let's be honest, a lot of us may not feel like celebrating as the world and the economy keep changing. And part of that change is probably some grieving. And that's all right. Here to talk about grief and what it has to do with the economy is Megan Devine. She's a psychotherapist and author of It's Okay That You're Not Okay. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
When we talk about grief and loss, especially in the moment we're in, how can we use that language around what's happening to the economy as well?
If we think about like how do we use the language of loss to talk about pain and grief around job loss, it's like we sort of have to have a bigger conversation of how do we talk about grief at all? And certainly in our culture, we tend to look at grief as sort of a problem to be solved. You have to be resilient. You have to be strong and look on the bright side. And that's not going to fly right now. What's really important here is to acknowledge that this is hard. That is true for any kind of loss across that entire continuum, from those smaller everyday losses through job loss, through concerns about being able to pay your mortgage or find childcare, through the death of somebody you care about.
Grieving the loss of a way of life that kind of shows up in so many ways, given what we're going through. I mean, not just people who lost their jobs, but maybe working from home when you don't want to be, wishing your kids could be in camp so that your work could get done, or even just missing the before times.
There's so much to grieve. I don't think we've ever really had a time, certainly in sort of recent history, of such compound and cascading losses. And I think you're right to call it a loss of a way of life. We can't rush back to normal, air quotes here, quote unquote normal. That life doesn't exist anymore. I think another really tricky part of this is the new normal hasn't arrived. That story is still unfolding, and that's really hard for people when they want to be able to hold on to something stable. And I think that's also why we sort of rush to let's reopen the economy, let's be resilient, find another way to be strong.
The changes we're experiencing in the economy, and to some extent even a lot of these job losses, it's a collective loss. Does that make a difference in how we're processing the grief around all of this loss?
I think it does make a difference. Very often when there is a mass tragedy, we as bystanders, as people not affected by that tragedy, sort of are like, we're with you, you're not alone. And the reality for the people who actually directly experience it are like, we actually are alone. You know, you're not with me. This pandemic and all of the things that have rippled out and happened because of and within this pandemic, nobody has been immune. There are no bystanders. That means we are actually all affected by this and we're all in this together. So that idea, you're not alone in this, isn't lip service this time. That's powerful.
Megan Devine is a psychotherapist and author of It's Okay That You're Not Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.